you are able, please stand and face the processional cross as it is brought into the chancel. Beloved in Christ, in this Christmas season, it is our delight to hear again the message of the angels and, in heart and mind, to return to Bethlehem to witness the miracle that took place there, the Son of God in human flesh and blood, a baby lying in the manger. Let us read and learn in Holy Scripture the story of the loving purposes of God from the first days after our fall, up to the birth and glorious redemption brought to us by this holy child. Let us hear how peace was lost and how peace is restored. We pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for ourselves and all people who worship you and your Son this holy night. By your holy word, lead us to say with the angels,
glory.
We pray for your blessing upon the people of our city, our state, our nation, and our world.
Glory to God in the highest.
We pray for the poor and helpless, the cold and hungry, the sick and sad, that you would give them the joy of your salvation and the comfort of your presence.
Glory to God in the highest.
We pray for unbelievers and enemies of the church, that you would lead them to recognize your Son as their only hope for eternal life.
Glory to God in the highest.
Finally, we remember before you all those who rejoice with us in heaven, who live in greater light and beauty than we, that multitude which no one can number, who died in faith and now praise you in your heavenly temple. We confess that we are united with them and with one another.
Glory to God in the highest.
Please be seated. The offering will now be gathered. I also ask that you would take some time to fill out the connection card and place it into the offering plate.
It's beautiful weather right now, but I'll be honest, I'm dreaming of going someplace where it's warmer than here and walk on a beach hand in hand with people that I know and love and care about. And that's what I'm just trying to illustrate with Haley and Owen here. And this is what Adam and Eve got to experience every day. In Genesis chapter 3, in the Garden of Eden, we're told that God came into the garden in the cool of the day, in the evening. Imagine what that was like when they would come, when they would hear God come into the garden and he would come to take a walk with them. And, you know, and just imagine. You know, somehow God made himself present to Adam and Eve, and could you imagine your creator just looking you in the eye and just, you know, he'd look at you and go, you are the crown of my creation. I can't love you any more than I love you. Wouldn't that be great? That's a marvelous dream. And Adam and Eve got to enjoy that every evening as God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They got to enjoy the warmth, not just the physical warmth, but the emotional and relational warmth of the loving Creator. They really didn't need anything more. But they weren't satisfied, were they? I bet you guys know the story, don't you? Yeah. They weren't satisfied, and so they reached out for something else, and suddenly, what would have been the best part of the day, when they got to walk with God in the cool of the day just to enjoy this loving relationship, you know what they did? They heard God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and what did they do?
Hide!
Let's go hide! Right? They scurried for cover and hid among the trees of the garden. And what would God do? Okay, let's come on up and let's read what our God did. When they were terrified, God spoke to them. Let's read Genesis chapter 3, verses 18 to 15. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Should have been the best part of the day, but they'd already sinned. They disobeyed God, and now they were afraid of him. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" Do you think they were such good hide-and-seek players that God couldn't find them? No, 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 no. God knew where they were, but he was inviting them to come on out, to not be afraid, like he's doing for us tonight. He's inviting us to come on out from our hiding and not to be afraid. Adam answered, verse 10, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you'll eat dust all the days of your life." You see, Adam and Eve, they were afraid that God would look at them and just go, "Ugh, I am just disgusted," and that he would pronounce a curse on them. But instead, God loved them. God loves us. And rather than pronounce a curse on us, he pronounced a curse on their enemy and ours. "Cursed are you, Satan, in the serpent." And then he made a promise. He said, "I will put enmity," that's like anger, "I'll put enmity between you, Satan, and the woman that you just deceived. Between her offspring, her children, and yours, he will crush your head." So the offspring of the woman would crush Satan's head, but Satan would bruise his heel. The promise of the Savior. The promise that once again, someday, we would get to walk with God in the cool of the day. That's the promise we've come to celebrate as we sing the next song.
Thank you.
offspring of the woman. Don't you suppose that Adam and Eve, when Eve got pregnant for the first time and they had a little baby boy, they thought, the promise is fulfilled. How disappointed they must have been. When the darkness that had come over their own lives because of sin was so obviously over Cain's life. Rather than becoming the savior who would crush Satan's head, he was used by Satan to destroy his brother. Cain became the first murderer. And that disappointment continued for generations. The world just got darker and darker and darker. And it was easy to begin to lose hope. And so God often gave promises that reminded the descendants of Adam and Eve that in spite of the darkness that we see around us, the darkness that we see in our own lives, the Savior was still going to come. Let's listen to one of those marvelous promises of rescue recorded in Isaiah chapter 9.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
God's people at Micah's time had reason to question that. If God is ruling the world, why are we forsaken? Why are we abandoned? World powers were threatening their existence, and still the promise had not come. He rules the world. We just sang those words. Is it really true? If he rules the world, why is there so much division right now in our nation? If he rules the world, why are there divisions among families, among races? If he rules the world, Why do you and I struggle to keep from following Adam and Eve's pattern that we're not content with simply walking with our Savior, but we want something more? He rules the world. Where are you, Lord? We are not the first to ask that. God's Old Testament people certainly asked that. And to reassure them, God repeated his promises, and then he fine-tuned those promises, continuing to add details so that when the promised Savior had come, it would be evident that this is the seed of the woman who has come to crush Satan's head, that he can bring us that peace that Adam and Eve lost. Let's hear this prophecy redefined in Micah chapter 5.
But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in his majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth.
Mary was certainly one of those meek souls. God had promised that the Savior would come from King David's line, but for almost 600 years, David's line had been humbled. And now Mary from Joseph, David's line, and her fiancé, Joseph, also from David's line, were living in a no-place town called Nazareth. And it would seem that the promise wasn't going to be fulfilled. But the angel promised to do something impossible. You're going to have a child, Mary. Mary said, that can't be. I have never been intimate with anyone. The Holy Spirit will come on you. The impossible is going to happen. And as we hear this prophecy to Mary, we begin to understand more clearly what our God, the Creator who loved Adam and Eve, said to them so long ago, the offspring of the woman, that the child who would be the one who would crush Satan's head would be born in a supernatural way, only the offspring of the woman. But in this way, he would also be God come in flesh. How can this be? The angel's answer is worthy of our memory. No word of God will ever fail. Would you repeat that sentence with me? No word of God will ever fail. You and I live in a place of darkness because darkness is in our hearts. Every one of us has to confess sins and guilt before God. We too should scurry for cover. They were celebrating that this child born of Mary is the fulfillment of God's promise in 1 John chapter 1. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, purifies us from all sins. You are all forgiven. He died for all of us. No word from God will ever fail. Just today, I learned that a good friend of mine is in the hospital with her granddaughter. Frightening times. Another good friend just lost his brother in death yesterday. But the God born of Mary is called Emmanuel, God with us. As he ends his ministry, he promises, "Lo, I will be with you always to the end of the earth." As you are facing frightening times in your own life and in the lives of those whom you love, remember, no word from God will ever fail. And as you think about your own mortality, around Thanksgiving, I had the funeral of three of my friends, all basically the same age as I am, within 1 week. What a powerful reminder that I am mortal. That in the day that Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, not only was the curse of death pronounced on them, it's pronounced on me too and on you. And some days, that fear and thought of death is more powerful than others. But on those days, when you're facing your own mortality and the mortality of those whom you love, remember that Emmanuel also promised his disciples, "Because I live, you also will live." No word from God will ever fail. Today we are celebrating that our God did the impossible for Mary. The Savior, God himself, born of a virgin. And we are celebrating that this God will do the impossible for us. For no word of God will ever fail. Let's listen to the angel's announcement to Mary in Luke chapter 1.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end."
"How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Marvelous promises. Promises of Adam and Eve's loss being restored to us. But maybe it's just a story. Maybe it's no different than something that happened in a galaxy far, far away. Maybe it's just a story. Maybe there really was no creator who looked with love on Adam and Eve. And maybe there really was no child who came in fulfillment. And maybe there is no hope of peace, walking again with God in the cool of the day. For some of you, this is an important question. It is not settled in your mind. I'll be honest,
Sometimes it is not settled in my mind either. As I wonder how it can be that things happen in my life and in the lives of those I love if there is a God in the heavens. If you have questions whether this is more than just a story, if doubts ever rise in your mind, you are not alone. There was a man named Theophilus who had some of those same questions. That's why one of his friends, Luke, a co-worker of the Apostle Paul, carefully investigated the matter so that he could write an orderly account for Theophilus to reassure him that this is more than just a story. And in the Christmas gospel, the announcement of love's birth, we're going to hear about people like Caesar Augustus and Pontius Pilate and Quirinius. Secular historians have found their names in history. This is not a once upon a time story. Luke is carefully dating it. He's not saying it happened in some distant galaxy, someplace far away. We don't know where it is. No, it's in Bethlehem. You can go there and celebrate with thousands of Christians to this day. Luke carefully investigated the matter. He invited Theophilus to come and study his investigation. That's certainly God's invitation to us as well. None of us are as certain as we could be. Our faith is never perfect. And so he invites us to come and do the research. In fact, I would ask a favor of you. If you don't have a Bible at home that's easy for you to read, could you do a favor for me? Could you take one of those Bibles that's there in the pew in front of you and take it home with you? Take it home and start to read Luke's gospel. Start to read John's gospel, Matthew's gospel. And ask them the tough questions. Email us, call us, ask us the tough questions. Let's do the research together. Because the issue is too important for us to be uncertain. Because if this life is all there is, then it will just end way too soon. And for many of us, it will just end in despair. But there's more. The Creator looked in Adam and Eve's eyes and made a promise of the seed of the woman. And Luke is inviting us to look into his eyes and know that he has asked the witnesses. In fact, when you hear the entire Christmas gospel and you hear Luke say that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart, who do you think he asked? Who did he talk to? He must have talked to Mary, don't you think? Who else would have known what she did in her heart? So let's listen, not to a story, but to history. A history that promises us God's love and his peace. Please stand for the reading of the gospel from Luke chapter 2.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son.
She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for him.
Please be seated. So the story ends where it began. Adam and Eve are filled with fear because they had said, God, you're not enough. And they scurried for cover, right? In the last lesson for today, somebody else is afraid. You know who that is? Good guess. But the last lesson is still from the Christmas story, the angel or the shepherds are filled with fear. Yeah, yeah. Why were they so afraid? Because they certainly knew that they've made the same kind of decisions that Adam and Eve did, and we have too, right? You know, if we saw an holy angel standing in front of us, I think we'd be filled with fear, because after all, I'm not perfect. How about you, Haley? Perfect? Are you perfect? Owen?
No.
No. We have reason to be afraid. But you know what the first words are that the angel said? I bet you can guess. Do not be afraid. So the angel comes to reverse the fear from the Garden of Eden, the fear that we have too. We don't have to be afraid. That the child born of Mary is Christ the Lord, our Savior, that all our guilt, all our fears, he's carried them so that there might be peace for us, right? And that's what our Savior certainly wants us to enjoy as we bring this service towards its end. That just as Adam and Eve were privileged before the fall into sin to walk with God in the cool of the day and enjoy his loving relationship with them, you and I have that privilege as well. That God is inviting us to walk with him, to enjoy his peace. In fact, that'll be the last words that you hear in the worship service today as the benediction is pronounced. There is peace from our God. And if we know that we can walk with him now, well, someday when he calls us home to heaven, we'll get to walk with him in the cool of the day then too, right? That's why we're celebrating. What Adam and Eve lost, we get to enjoy today. And someday we'll get to enjoy it forever in heaven, right? So why don't we read together the end of our story for today from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. Should we read it up on the screen? You want to read along with me? Read the M parts and the congregation will do the C parts. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Please stand. O gracious and almighty Father, We praise you that you kept your ancient promises by sending your everlasting Son in human flesh. You sent Jesus as a lowly child to demonstrate your concern for all, the weak and the lonely, the troubled and the frightened, the timid and the helpless. No one is overlooked by your ever-seeking eyes. No one is excluded from your upholding arms. No one is denied the comfort and help of your outstretched hand.
Bless us with the childlike faith in the divine
You sent Jesus as the Savior of the world to deliver all from the curse of sin, the power of death, and the torment of hell. He took our place. He was born under the law to set us free. He became the innocent lamb of sacrifice. He came to die and rise again in order that we might live eternally. Firmly implant this good news in our hearts and fill us with an eager desire to spread the word concerning what we have heard tonight.
May all who hear the message in every nation under heaven be amazed and believe what is told them about the child.
You sent Jesus as the light of the world to drive out all darkness that would rob us of the full life that you intend for us. May the joy that will be for all people be our joy. May the peace on earth to all on whom his favor rests be our peace. May the treasure that Mary pondered in her heart be our treasure.
For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to us. He is Christ the Lord. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
The light no darkness can overcome.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light.
The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it.
On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned.
We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given.
In him was life. And that light was the light of man.
Thank you.
God of love, Father of all, the darkness that covered the earth has given way to the bright dawn of your word.
Make us
the
people of this light.
Make us faithful to your word, that we may bring your light to the waiting world.
Grant us
the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Thank you for celebrating Christmas with us. We invite you to come back and worship with us again. We will need the candles back for the next service, so if you can drop those off on your way out. And please give Christmas greetings to the people around you. We are all God's children, marvelously loved by our Creator.